Good morning. Oh, yeah, kids three and up, go to practice. Did everybody get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. How many of you have the Salvation Army thing? Everybody got that? Okay, turn that over. That's the handout. Okay. Sorry about that. I found out Wednesday night that I was speaking. So be praying for Drew. He's been sick, and so just lift him up. But isn't this rain the greatest? Oh, just thanking the Lord for this rain. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. We are, of course, in this series on I Am. And if you remember in the Old Testament, when Moses met God and God was in the burning bush, he says, I am who I am. I'm complete. I'm whole. I'm everything. And as you look through the Gospels, each of the Gospels, the four Gospels, each one of those guys kind of concentrate on a trait of Jesus. And for John, it's his deity, okay, that he was God. And so that's why you see these eight times in John where John writes about where Jesus said, I am. Okay? So let's stand together and read through these again like we've been doing through this series and just think about each one of these and what they mean. Each one of them, of course, is a symbol and tells us more about Jesus, but it also tells us how we relate with him, okay, and our relationship with him. So I am declarations. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. I am the Lord who heals you. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning, we're going to look at John 15. So turn to John 15 where Jesus said, I am the true vine. Okay? This is, of course, they're in the upper room, and Jesus has been explaining to the disciples and teaching them a lot of things as they took that last Passover together. This is the Passover season, of course, and so They're going through this dinner together. Jesus is doing a lot of teaching that really confused the disciples, okay? Of course, he deals with Judas and removes him from the disciples, and so now there's 11 of them. And if you look at the end of chapter 14, the very last thing that Jesus says to them there is, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, ever so I do to you. Arise, let us go from here. Okay? So they're in this upper room. They're in the southwest corner of Jerusalem. Okay? And they arise and they go in the middle of the night, but it's the Passover season, so there's a bright moon. So they can see that's not a problem. And they go through the southwest gate. And on every gate around the city on the wall, above the gate is a grapevine. Okay? Because as we're going to look at, there's the picture of Israel, or they're a symbol of a vineyard. God calls him his precious vineyard. Okay? And so there's this, it was well known throughout Israel, just part of their whole culture, about vines and about grapes and so forth. And so as they travel, of course, they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? We know what happens there. Okay, but on the way, they go through the Tiberian Valley. They go up over a little rise, and they go through the Kidron Valley, and then they go up the Mount of Olives to the garden. Okay? Well, both of those valleys were big-time vineyards. Okay? They were kind of the Napa of Israel. And so they're walking through all these vineyards, and the Lord, as he teaches so beautifully, always uses what's right there. Okay? And so he's walking through this vineyard and he stops and he says these words in John chapter 15. I am the true vine. Now, it's interesting here that he says he's the true vine. In the other places, he says, I am the bread, I am the way, I am the life, and so forth. I am the resurrection. But here he gives an adjectives in there that he's the true vine. Okay? Now, he's not comparing true against false. He's not saying that there's other false vines. Right? What he's saying is that I'm the real thing. You could put in the word real there. I am the real vine. Okay? The nation Israel as a picture, okay, they were a shadow, considered a vineyard and considered a grape, that they were just a picture and a shadow of that, okay? If you turn to Psalms 80, okay, I'll read it for you if you don't want to turn there, but in Psalms 80, down verse 8, it says, thou didst remove a vine from Egypt. And, of course, that vine is who? Who? No? Israel, okay? He didn't remove Jesus from Israel. He removed from Egypt. He removed the Israelites, right? Okay? So he moved the Jews out of Egypt. So he says, thou didst remove a vine, a picture of Israel, from Egypt. Thou didst drive out the nations and didst plant it. Thou didst clear the ground before it, and it took deep root and filled the land. Okay, so is this a healthy vineyard? Yeah, took deep root. It's doing really well. Okay, the mountains were covered with its shadow. So it was so, you know, the description here that it was such a great vineyard that it was actually casting shadows on the mountains. Okay. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Okay? So this thing was going a long way. Why hast thou broken down its hedges so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. Okay? So all of a sudden, this vineyard becomes very what? Susceptible, doesn't it, okay, to being destroyed by these animals, all right? And we know, of course, that's part of the judgment on Israel. If you look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, okay, see, at one time it was well planted, casting shadows on the mountains, it was good grapes, right? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and will be consumed. I will break down its wall and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste, it will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no more on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. Notice what God is looking for there in the vineyard. Justice and righteousness. And he can't find it, okay? So he judges the nation Israel, all right? So turn back to John 15, okay? So Jesus says, I am the true vine, and the contrast to Israel is a shadow of the vine, okay? And in this parable, this story, this is the second time Jesus has told a story or a parable where he's given us the interpretation. Okay, he's telling us what each of the symbols represent. Do you remember the other parable that he told? That he told what everything was in it? Come on, guys. Good, the seeds, huh? The sower and the seeds, okay? And Jesus explained who the sower was. He explained what each of the seeds and what kind of ground they fall on, okay? So we didn't need to interpret that parable. It was Jesus interpreted for us, okay? So it's like a pattern parable. Well, he does the same thing in this one. He tells us what everything is, okay? So who's the vine? Who's the vine? Jesus, okay. He says, I am the true vine, okay? And then he says, but my Father is the vine dresser, okay? Or my Father, it literally means the earth worker, okay? The earth worker. Now, we sang that song just a minute ago, the great name of Jesus, okay? I have a book in my library, and I think it talks about there's over 700 names for Jesus or God in the Bible, okay? But I'll bet you didn't know this one. This one's really great, okay? Earthworker comes from the Greek word that is the same that we translate into George. So another name for God, if anybody ever asks you, is George, okay? I guess that's why George Foreman called his seven kids. He named them all George, okay? Maybe that's why. But so anyway, that's a name that was free, okay? So he's the gardener, the earth worker, okay? And then notice what God does, okay? And my Father is the vine dresser. In verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Okay, so the first thing he does is he takes it away, or literally that means he lifts it up and he removes it. Now, he's just done that with Judas, right? They've just seen a vivid example of someone that they removed. And what's the qualification to be removed? What? Produce nothing. Good. Okay. No produce. No fruit. All right. We have a grapevine. Some of you have seen it. It is kind of amazing. And if you haven't seen it, come by and see it. We'll be glad to show you our little grapevine. It's kind of ugly right now, being this time of season. But I planted it in 1980. So what's that? 40 years ago? Okay. Planted it in 1980. And it was a stick around about like this one here. Okay, just stuck it in the ground. Benny says, these are really good in Scott Valley. It's the right elevation for them. So I bought two of them, and I stuck them in the ground. Okay, and I stuck one on each side of the door going into our garden. And so the one on the left started growing and doing pretty well. The one on the right died in about 6 months, just withered. And so I pulled her out. That was it. Okay, and I thought, well, I'll go buy another one. And then I kind of forgot about it, and this one kept growing. And now, I kid you not, this thing goes about 100 feet in each direction, okay? Last fall, we got about 65 gallons of grapes off this one vine. The trunk on this baby is about like this, okay? And so what I don't enjoy doing is keeping birds away from the grapes. That's the worst part, okay? I have tried everything, and nothing works. Part I don't enjoy, too, is pruning. It's hard work, okay? And this little guy here fell off as it was bringing it in the car this morning, okay? So if you can see, there's actually a different color between the vine, which is here, darker, right? The vine's already, the older part's always darker. And this light is a new growth. So this one just grew this last year, okay? This guy was off here to the side, and he broke off. Do you know why? What? He's dead. He was totally fruitless, okay? There was no fruit on this branch, all right? He just didn't make it. In fact, where it broke off this morning, you can see that it's dead, okay? So this one, guess what I'll do with this? I'm going to throw it away. I won't throw it away. I'll put it in the burn pile, and I'll burn it up, okay? Look at verse 6. Of chapter 15. If someone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay? So that's what you do with fruitless grapes, because all they're doing is sucking the energy out of this, out of the vine. Okay? And these branches. Now, when you prune, I learned, went on wonderful YouTube, and, you know, that's how I kind of learned how to really do it. I'd been just hacking away on it for the first several years. But You see these little nodules here? These are each going to be different branches that could possibly grow out, okay? But when you prune this, the mentor says, count two up, prune it, okay? Now, why don't we like to be pruned? Hurts. What else? Does hurt.
It seems like a lot is lost.
Excellent. Okay? Excellent. I don't like to lose myself. Okay? I don't like to be cut off. I like to hold my pride and my self-image and all those things that that I have to deal with. Okay? So to feel like I've got to lose that, right, is a real threat. Okay? And so we don't like being pruned, right? It's interesting that when God removes or takes away, we don't produce fruit because we're not in Christ, really, huh? We look like we are. So God removes that person, okay? And you've probably experienced someone like that. I've seen it through the years in this church. There's people who come. They have given faithfully. They come to Bible study. They come to church. But there's never any fruit. And pretty soon you just see them kind of remove themselves because they get tired of pretending to be a believer, okay? And so that's what the Father does, okay? So he's the gardener. And then it says that every branch, verse 2, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, okay? He removes it. And every branch that bears fruit, he does what? Prunes. Does anybody have the word cleanse there instead of prunes? Okay? All right. So everybody's got prunes. That it may bear more fruit. That's the purpose, huh? Okay? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, where I said in verse 3, where I read, you're already clean, how many of you have pruned there instead of cleaned? Nobody. Everybody's got cleaned? Okay? Except up here, right? Verse 3, it says, you're already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Pruned and cleansed is the same word. Okay? So we could read this section so that it bears much fruit. He cleanses it that it may bear more fruit because of the word. And so in either one of those words, you can put prunes or cleanses because that's what pruning does. Okay? One of the interesting things when I'm pruning our grape is that in these little notches here, I'll find bugs, dirt, cobwebs growing in between, okay? And so when you prune it, it cleanses that stuff out of there, okay? And so it produces then, obviously, more fruit, okay? So he cleanses, he prunes it, he cuts it back, okay? And notice he doesn't cut it off. When I cut that prune, I left two nodules there, right? So it's going to grow again, okay? It's going to grow stronger and bigger and produce more fruit, okay? So how does this happen? How does he prune us, all right? And again, as we said, this hurts. But look at verse 3, okay? You are already cleaned, you are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, to his disciples, he's saying the word which he has spoken to them. But how does he send his word to us? Through the word, huh? Through his Bible, okay? Now, it's interesting here that that it's done by the word, okay? Have you ever been reading this book and all of a sudden been really convicted about something in your life that the God is saying to you directly? Okay, that's the pruning, right? The pruning is also when you're going through circumstances. I met with a friend this week, and he's being pruned. He's going through tough stuff, and it hurts. It hurts to feel like you're losing part of yourself, okay? But we know that God's going to produce more fruit in us and that it's going to work out for the good, okay? It's interesting that this word If you go to the fruit, excuse me, the fruit that we just read about in Isaiah, what were the two things, do you remember, that God was looking for in them? Justice and righteousness, okay? Did he find it? No. Those are both characteristics of integrity, aren't they? Okay? They're not outward things, they're inward things. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is what he's talking about here. That's what the fruit is. Okay? Love, joy, peace, and if you look at all the rest of them there in the list, they come from those first three. Love, joy, and peace. Okay? And it produces patience and so forth in the list that I'm sure you're very, very familiar with. If you look up in John 14, one of the things he taught them, and just when they were in the upper room, okay, in John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Think we ought to memorize that last line in 2020? Okay? "Let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be fearful." Right? That's God's peace, isn't it? And if you notice here, it's what? It's a gift. It's produced from the fruit. Okay? I have to work at watering that, our vineyard, our vine. Okay? I have to prune it. Right? I have to try to keep the birds away once the fruit comes in. Okay? And so I have to do all these things. There's responsibilities I have. All right? But it's so interesting to watch in the early spring, though, you start seeing those little clusters, and they're just like tiny, tiny little clusters, okay? And I start getting so excited, you know, and they start growing and growing, and you just think, wow. And you know what? I've never seen one of those grapes going, I just got to grow. No, they just sit there and rest, right? Everything takes care of itself through the vine, through the true vine. Everything takes care of its place, and fruit is produced automatically. Okay? I don't have to try to produce my fruit in my life. Patience, love, joy are all a gift from the Father. Okay? But my responsibility is to prepare the ground, to prepare what I need to do. That's called the disciplines of the Christian life. Okay? And there's also the discipline of the Christian life, but on the other hand, on the other side, is the dependence on God to do the work and produce the grapes, okay? We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. So the fruit he's looking for is our character, our integrity, changes within my mind, the renewing of my mind by the word, okay? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not looking for our happiness, but he's looking for our wholeness, okay? Now, so it takes two things to be fruitful. Okay, how many of you want to produce fruit in your life? Yeah, there's not a person here that doesn't want to have a worthwhile, effective Christian life and relationship with the Lord. That's what we all want, or we wouldn't be here, right? So what does it take? Okay, well, it takes two things. Look at verse 4. The first one is, abide in me. Abide means to remain in me. Our Thursday night Bible study is studying 2 Corinthians. And what we're seeing as we go through this book is the main thing Paul keeps saying as he shares his journey and he shares about the New Covenant ministry is he keeps saying over and over again, I remained. I persevered. I kept on going. I abided. Okay? That's a huge thing in the Christian life. Sometimes when the rough things come, we just quit. We want to quit. We want to walk out, okay? But Paul says he didn't. He remained. He abided, okay? He abided in Christ. He abided in me, okay? It means literally to hang in there, okay? Follow me. Obey. Renew by the word. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Share with one another. Be open with one another, okay? The list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? You see, that's disciplines of the Christian life. Now, the problem with the disciplines of the Christian life, if we don't have dependence, we just have discipline. I do my Bible study every morning. I have my devotion. I have my prayer time. I come to church. I give to the church. I work in Awana. And what happens to me, and this is the side of the balance between dependence and discipline, I'm on the discipline heavy side. Okay? And I find myself, as I don't depend, I start checking off the list. Well, this morning, I did my devotion. I went to church today. I was nice to Susie and didn't beat her up. And, you know, I go down through the list, okay, and I check it off. And guess what? Discipline, if you're heavy on the discipline side, and this is what I want you thinking about, which side are you the heaviest on? Because we want to be balanced between these two, okay? As I get more into the discipline, I get more legalistic. And I get more impatient with people, and I become critical and judgmental. Because I'm on this discipline guy. Well, that guy's not reading his Bible as much as I am. He's not going to church as much as me. And I start getting that way. Okay? That's the weakness. That's why the balance is so important. Because look what Jesus says. Abide in me. That's the discipline. And, you can circle and if you got your pen and your Bible there. And in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. In you, in me, abiding in Christ is the, what? Dependence, isn't it? Okay? I depend on him. I can't do any of these things. In fact, that's what he's going to say next. I can't do any of these things without depending on the Lord. Okay? If it's all discipline, there's no fruit. If it's all discipline, there's no fruit. It's just me and my self-birch effort trying to produce something. And it's not going to happen. Okay? It's only going to happen when I'm dependent on the Lord and my life's in balance. That's what produces the fruit. Okay? And look at verse 5. I am the vine, he reminds us again. You are the branches. He who abides remains in me, and I in him. There it is again, huh? You can recircle that and. Abides in me, that's the discipline. And I in him, that's the dependence. He bears much fruit. Then he says, for apart from me, dependence on me, you can do nothing. Okay? Jesus even said that about himself, didn't he? Without the Heavenly Father, I can't do anything. Now, he doesn't mean that you can't function. You can still work. You can go to school. You can build a house. You can do all kinds of things and function very well. Okay? That's not what he's talking about. Right? You can do things. Okay? But it won't produce fruit unless you're dependent on him and disciplined. Okay? Both have to function that way. Okay? Without that, there's no growth. So the balance is so important. Does that make sense? Okay. It's like a car, you know, and I'm not a mechanic, but I know, okay, it takes two things. It takes fuel and spark. So it's my responsibility to keep the fuel tank. It's the engine's responsibility to produce the spark, okay, unless I have to have Lauren Postma fix it, right? So those two things are in balance. The motor's not going to run without those two things. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying here. Now, in this last part, in 7 through 11, he gives us four evidences of the fruit. Well, how do I know that I'm producing fruit, and what is it? Okay? And so he gives us four of them here, right? And the first one is in verse 7. If you abide or remain in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Pretty neat, huh? Okay? So the result is what? It's an effective prayer life. Okay? If you're in balance, in dependence and discipline, your prayer life's going to be super, super effective. And if you're praying like he describes here. The word words here in this verse, if you abide in me and my words, Okay, it's not logos. Okay, most of us know what that means. But it's rhema. It means the promises of Christ, the promises of God. You see, promises and prayer should always be tied together. We should be praying with the promises of God. He promises to bring us peace, right? That's what he just told them in chapter 14. Okay? And so I pray for Christ's peace in my life. Right? I'm praying with the promises tied in. It's not praying for the 911 Porsche that I want. Okay? That I pray for anything and I'm going to get it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about praying tied in with his promises. So it's an effective prayer life. They're always linked together. Okay? So ask about what he's promised you already. The second one is in verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay? What he's talking about there is the second one is the impact I have on others. Are you seeing a difference with other people? Okay? Are you having an impact on them? The real question is, are you a carrot or are you an egg or are you a coffee bean? So which are you? When you face pruning, are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Now, you probably need a little explaining. if you're all looking at me like deer in the headlights. If you're a carrot, okay, when I pull a carrot out of the ground, that thing's tough, it's hard, it's ready to go. It's got all the drive and everything else, okay? And if I take three pots of water and I turn them on high and get those babies boiling, and I take that hard-nosed carrot and I stick it in that water, in a few minutes, what's going to happen to that carrot? It's going to get soft, huh? Okay? It's going to give up. It's going to melt away under the pressure. And when the pruning starts, it's just going to say, I just can't do it anymore, and God doesn't love me, and I'm going to go my own way. Okay? Now, if you take the egg, what's the egg like before you put it in that hot water? What? Hard shell, but good, good. Inside, it's running, it's liquid, it's soft inside, isn't it? Okay? The shell is hard if you take it lengthwise, right, Craig, and try to press. That egg is tough, okay? It takes a lot of pressure to break an egg that way. But if you lay it on its side, it's pretty easy, isn't it, to break the egg, okay? You don't crack the end, you crack the side, okay? So the egg, what happens to it after a few minutes in the boiling water? It hardens, okay? So that's a picture. If when you're being pruned, okay, I go in, I come out, I look the same. My shell looks exactly the same. I can remember picking up an egg one time, and I thought it was hard-boiled. That's a mistake, okay? Don't crack one of those on your head. It doesn't work very well. So it becomes hardened, doesn't it? Okay? So if you become hardened through the pruning process, all right, you're an egg. Okay? Now, what happens to the coffee beans? Like, Gail? Good. It emits a beautiful aroma. And what's it do to the water? It changes the water. And you take a drink of that and you go, yeah, this is good. Okay? You see, the coffee beans changes its environment, not itself. Okay? It's not thinking about itself. It's flavoring what's happening around it. It takes what's happening to it and it turns it into something beautiful. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be coffee beans. He doesn't want us to be carrots, and he doesn't want an egg when he starts pruning us. He wants to see a change in us and those around us, okay? Because people are watching us. This community is watching us, okay? And how do we respond? How do we respond to this pandemic, okay? Are we still joyful? Are we still, you know, the same because Christ is the same? Or are we complaining and downhearted and like the egg, really hardened. Okay? So that's your homework. Home enjoyment this week is decide when you're being pruned, are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Okay? Verse 9 is the third one, 9 and 10. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, that's the discipline, you will abide in my love. That's the dependence. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What he's saying here is that the evidence of fruit here is to be remained and be experiencing God's love for you and that flowing out of your life, loving others. Okay? That's one of the evidences. And verse 11 is the fourth one. Okay? These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Okay? Are you experiencing his joy? See, there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is conditioned on what's happening around me. If things are going my way, then I'm happy. Okay? But joy is produced inside. I may be having a miserable day with the circumstances around me, but I still have that joy that's a gift from the Lord. It's a fruit, an evidence. Okay? And so as you're producing that fruit within you, even as you face the circumstances of your day, that joy is going to be there. Okay? It's a gift. So notice these last two are the first two of the fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? Love and joy. Okay? And he's already told them just a few minutes ago that he's going to give them peace. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your incredible characteristics of your life. And that, Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning that we could evaluate our own lives this week and see if we're depending on you and if we're depending on you too much. There's no discipline in our lives that, Lord, we're just like a couch potato and we think the world's just going to go on and everything will be fine, but not doing anything. And, Lord, with discipline, my discipline in myself to abide and remain in you. Lord, thanks that you're a vine, that you just feed us, nourish us, care for us, that you give us your love, your joy, and your peace. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.